Introduced the all-electric Leaf back in 2010. So, wherever you are on your journey to electric, head to your local Nissan dealer to see which electrified vehicle suits you. Plug-y in or otherwise. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Audiences and critics alike are loving Lyle Lyle Crocodile. Giving it 5 stars, saying this crocodile rocks, and it's a perfect family film, starring Javier Bardem, with Shawn Mendes as...
Lyle! At the top.
That was totally awesome!
Lyle Lyle Crocodile, only at cinemas now. IFCO Cert PG.
This is Around the Northwest at 2. Let's get the news headlines now from Daniel Brennan.
Thanks, John. The chair of the Make Action Group has told Naroctis Committee that the proposed concrete levy is just adding insult to injury for Mica homeowners. Lisa Hone was speaking in front of the Naroctis Joint Committee on Finance, Public Expenditure and Reform this afternoon. She says that taxpayers are being footed with the full blame for the Mica scandal, not defective concrete block manufacturers. She says they must foot the bill instead. You can hear her full comments on our website now, highlandradio.com. This comes as Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has pleaded with government to help Mica affected homeowners living in dangerous properties. It's believed 500 homeowners are currently at stage one of the redress scheme. Deputy McLaughlin says these homeowners are stuck and can't get access to any financial supports despite continuing to live in properties unfit for human inhabitation. An additional bus service is to be rolled out in Creaselagh next week to service those who have been cut off as a result of the main road through the village remaining closed following the explosion almost 3 weeks ago. Local Link is to provide additional provisions for those in and around Creaselagh for a number of days per week. Donegal County Council has approved the Part 8 planning for the reimagined Market Square project in Letterkenny Town Centre. Some changes have been made to the provision of taxi ranks and disabled parking spaces, including the retention of the taxi rank outside the Market Centre. The Chief Executive's report, which followed a public consultation, stressed that the needs of pedestrians are being prioritised and that will mean some changes. However, the report acknowledged that a survey showed the rank in front of Market Centre is the busiest in Letterkenny. Members backed the revised proposal, stressing the need for retaining taxi spaces in the town. Police have described as brutal an attack on a man in Derry last night. The 38-year-old was attacked by two men wielding iron bars outside flats on the Leckie Road shortly before 9 p.m. He was subsequently taken to hospital for treatment to injuries to his hand, arm and head. Detectives believe last night's incident may be linked to an attack on a 35-year-old man on Monday night in the Carnhill area. Police are continuing inquiries to establish a motive for the attack and are appealing to anyone with information to come forward. And finally, a Donegal deputy says students from Donegal attending university in Northern Ireland are being discriminated against. Students travelling from the county to the likes of Galway will receive a 50% rebate as part of the Leap Card scheme. However, if travelling to the north, no rebate is available. Deputy Joe McHugh said yesterday in the Dáil he believes a solution is attainable. That's all from the news desk for now. We'll be back with a full update at 3. But until then, good afternoon.
Thanks, Daniel.
Bob the dog sits in the window all day. He barks when he sees the postman. He barks when he sees the meter reader. He barks when he sees the neighbours. He barks at butterflies. He barks at birds. So it's anyone's guess why he's not barking at the three lads currently robbing the house. But here we are. Thankfully, this October, you can get a phone watch alarm that responds to break-ins and smoke in just 15 seconds for only €99. Yes, Bob, that is a good deal. Life is unpredictable. Don't be alarmed. Be phone watched. Offer ends October 31st. Visit phonewatch.ie. Monitoring fees apply.
Win a car with St. Junan's GA Club, plus 9 other great prizes. Only a few days left to get your tickets. Draw takes place on November the 1st. Tickets are now available online at stjunansgadraw.com or any club member. Proudly sponsoring Around the Northwest.
Her lovely hair, her skin so
fair. I could go on never end. Oh, I can't help it, I'm in love with the girl.
Elvis Presley. Well, Elvis, you don't have to say Presley, just Elvis, one of those artists so big, so successful, so popular, that just one name does it. But like, you know, Madonna or Maradona or Prince. And here's another one, Hector. And Hector is back on our TV screens tonight on TG Car because he's been travelling again. This time it's Balkans Go Baltics. So, you know, as the name suggests, he goes from the Baltics or the Balkans to the Baltics. I don't think it's the other way around. But he'll tell us now because he's on the line, hopefully. Hector.
John, how's it going?
Good, sir. Good.
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah, tomorrow night now, John. Tomorrow night is our slot, 9:30. So we're really excited. We're on the road again. And it was filmed last winter in the depths of snow and the depths of freezing Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. And who would have ever thought that the whole world is watching Eastern Europe for the last 7 or 8 months, watching the war unfold in the Ukraine. So we never thought when we were planning the show a year before that every man, woman and child in this country would know where the Ukraine is and where the Black Sea is and where all these countries in the Balkans and the Baltics are.
Absolutely. We've become all too familiar with them for all the wrong reasons.
Absolutely, John. It's an incredible. And that's only a couple of hours flight away from Dublin. You know, this is on the other side of the world or in Timbuktu. This is a couple of hours away from Dublin Airport by flight.
Well, you've given us an insight into the greater region, if you like, in this series. And there's 7 episodes, and so quite a lot to get through. I'm not sure how we could do this. Maybe if we zip through each episode, and I'll just give you the highlights, and you can pick out then. You could pick from them. For instance, tomorrow night you start off in Istanbul, where Europe and Asia meet, and there's a Turkish bath experience, and you get to visit the Grand Bazaar, and then after that you go on to Gallipoli. What were the standouts from?
First of all, it's one of the greatest cities in the world. It's a city that's been there for thousands of years. It's a place of trade and empire. The Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire, even the Celts went as far as Istanbul. Because you can stand at the banks of the Bosphorus, one of the most important stretches of water in the world. And on one side, you're in Europe, and you walk across the bridge, you're in Asia. So it's a very unique part of the world, a very important hub. Turkey is in a very important country, and Istanbul is one of the great global cities. But it's an amazing city of sights and sounds, and the call to prayer, and Ottoman churches, and Christian Orthodox churches, and mosques. It's a melting pot of cultures and of different worlds and different races and tribes. So it's a good place for us to start off our trip, because when you say Istanbul, it resonates like one of the great cities of the world. So, you know, it's going to give you a good flavor. It's going to give you an insight into the Bosphorus, where you can see nuclear submarines from Russia and tankers 55 football pitches long coming back with crude oil, and the grain ships from Ukraine all have to go through the Bosphorus to get out of the Black Sea. So it's a very important stretch of water. We talked to a geopolitical analyst about that stretch of water and who's using it and how important it is, again, because of war and because where we know of Crimea. Crimea was only a couple of 100 kilometres to the north of us. And people think the Black Sea is absolutely massive. Ireland would dwarf into the size of the Black Sea. You've 7 or 8 countries surrounding it. So how important is that piece of water? now more than ever. Gallipoli, we travel a couple of hundred miles southeast of Istanbul and we got to the shores of Gallipoli. Now, I'm not a big man for history. I liked history in school, but I'm not a museum person or something, but I do understand history is important. But what I experienced and what I felt on the shores of Gallipoli, where I saw this small graveyard, specially made by the Turkish government to remember and to have the headstones of hundreds of young Irishmen who lost their lives in World War One, who were slaughtered as they got off the boats and on the shores and on the beaches of this most beautiful headland in the middle of the countryside called Gallipoli. And we spent nearly a half day there filming. And we met a local lad to give us the rundown of what exactly happened on that morning in 1914, I think it was. And an amazing feeling, a serene feeling, a sadness when you saw the names on the headstones of Flahertys and Fitzsimonses and Rileys and every surname that you can think of off the top of your head. And they all 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age. Yeah. These hundreds of young Irishmen from the Royal Munster Fusiliers and the Dublin Fusiliers who were lost in battle, not even given a chance. By the time they got out of the boats and waded to water, they were slaughtered. And that's where they're buried. And I'm glad we have a lot of different feelings in our show because it's an hour-long documentary and we have a lot of different moments and tempos and paces and there's plenty of crack in it. But there's also time to reflect and have montages and to do go a little bit deeper, and that's what I like.
Yeah, well, that's good. When I think of the Balkans, there's two countries that spring to mind, one being Romania and the other being Bulgaria. Bulgaria then was your second stop, or second in the series, and the oldest country actually in Europe, and you did a bit of sword fighting and apparently sampled some native alcohol and you dipped into the communist history.
An amazing country, Bulgaria. Yeah, Bulgaria is an amazing country, again, ruled by the Communist Party. And the feeling you're going to get from all of these shows is that the communism and Russia had a strong influence on an awful lot of these countries. It's like the old Iron Curtain. You remember growing up and hearing about the old Iron Curtain? Well, we were behind the Iron Curtain in all of these countries where you know that there's been a lot of history and destruction and war and communism and everything that brings, and that you can see that etched into the faces of the people, but you can also see it on the streets with the massive buildings, these massive grey apartment blocks that were built in the communist era where everyone worked for the common good and worked for the local communist party. And you know, they call them television boxes because they're massive apartment blocks built years and years ago, and they're just little tiny little television windows, almost thousands of them in these apartment blocks, and the way life was. So we travel through Bulgaria and then we get to Sofia, which is every city that I got to, from Istanbul to Sofia, Sofia to Belgrade, Belgrade to Bucharest, Bucharest to Krakow up through Poland into Vilnius and into Riga. These are amazing cities. And I urge people to watch the series because apart from that, hopefully I'll open up a window and a door for people to say, do you know what, we're not going to go to Amsterdam anymore. I'm not going to go to Berlin. I've still done all that. I'm going to go a little bit further to meet their Eastern European cousins, the most amazing cities I've seen in a long time. And Bucharest is right up there in the top five cities that I've been in over 22 years traveling. Bucharest is an amazing place. Romania, an amazing countryside, great people, rural people, and the city... Well, it's just a very, very cool city. It would put Berlin and Paris and a bit of Barcelona all together and you have Bucharest.
I've been, it is an amazing city and offers so much and so many contrasts in many ways. But
the feeling of Ceausescu and what he did when he knocked a third of the city to build his palace. What an egotistical dictator he was when he knocked a third of the city to put in an avenue twice the width of the Champs-Élysées, twice the length of the Champs-Élysées, to show off the power that he had over the people. And then he built the world's heaviest building, only second to the Pentagon and the biggest government building in the world, with 6,500 rooms. I mean, this was a show of power and opulence. And when you see it, you realise, my God, the power that they had, the power that the Communist Party had all over Bulgaria, Romania, all these countries. It's incredible.
And seeing as it's this time of the year, when you were in Romania, you got to visit Dracula's castle as well.
Yeah, Transylvania. Now, it wasn't as scary as one of those horror movies you'd see a long time ago, but maybe there was werewolves and vampires at one stage a couple of hundred years ago. I didn't have a time machine to bring me back to that, but it's a big folk park. It's a big theme park, Vlad's castle. They do a good job at it. It wasn't as scary as we thought. Having said that, if I was in a castle at 3 o'clock in the morning in the hills of Transylvania, I'm sure I would be scared out of my pants. But the day we went, there wasn't many werewolves or vampires around. But it's nice to see it. Transylvania and the home of Bram Stoker's Vlad the Impaler. So we, but our journey through the countryside in Romania is what's very, very interesting. Rural Romania, that's where we are happiest, when we get out of the cities, out into the countryside to meet the normal people, the farming people, the working class people, the people who are working the land. And we do that on our show because we travel 10 days in each country, and sometimes we'll drive 6 or 7 hours to get to a story in the van, and we make up for it hopefully by getting to a good story in a remote location. And I think our audience that has grown up on TG Car watching our show, I mean, they appreciate that we don't get lazy about our stories, and we give you a real flavour of the country.
Yeah, absolutely, you do. Finally, I just want to mention one of your stops, and it's on my bucket list, and that is Krakow. And you, when you were there, obviously you went out to Auschwitz. And you've said how, you know, the tone in the shows varies, and there's a lot of crack and a lot of fun along the way, but also then there's the serious side, and that would be Auschwitz, and also you visit the Jewish quarter as well.
Yeah, we visited the Jewish quarter in Krakow that was wiped out, unfortunately, by the Germans. The Germans were very smart when they took over Poland. They kept the nicest cities for themselves, and then they bombed the ones at will. They destroyed many, many cities at will. But they liked Krakow. They liked the buildings there, and they set up their government, and they set up their ruling generals and high commanders and all their... They used Krakow as a military HQ. But also what they did was 15 miles out, 20 miles outside it, they took over the old Polish military barracks, and it became of Auschwitz, and it became a centre of destruction and death. And when we arrived, the sun was shining. It was last January. It was a lovely, sunny winter's day, snow everywhere, and snow started falling as we walked in through the gate of Auschwitz. And for the next 4 or 5 hours, it's very hard to explain how I felt, what I was seeing, what I was feeling, what I could feel in the air, what you could feel when you put your hand on the walls of Auschwitz. And when you're going through that gate, and you know that you've seen Schindler's List and all these documentaries and films, when the women and children are told to go to the left, and the men, if they were fit and healthy, go to the right. The other men who weren't fit and healthy were just left to die. And if you weren't going to die in the gas chamber, you were going to die by starvation and death in these death working camps. And that's only 70-something years ago. So how humans can be so nasty to each other, so incredibly... I felt guilty being there near the end, because I felt, how have we allowed this to happen to people on our planet? And what have we learned? And it's only 70 something years ago, when this horrific 1.2 million Jews were wiped off the face of the earth in Auschwitz. And then they built a bigger concentration camp out the road where they could bring in the trains right in to the gas chamber. And we went into the gas chambers, John, and there's nothing to say. I had nothing to say. There's nothing for me to say when I walk into a gas chamber with a camera crew, because I was utterly disgusted, and I didn't feel like saying anything, because it was quite profound. It's a quite profound place to go, and there's something in the air where you know something awful has happened. And when you think of the amount of men and women and children that were exterminated in these gas chambers, I don't have the words to describe it, but it's on the show.
Okay, well, that is episode 5. There's 7 in the series in total. Gets underway, as you say, tomorrow night at 9:30 on TG Cahar. It's Balkans Go Baltics. Hector, thanks a million.
John, as always, Mas Mórda Gullamachadí and Highland Posse. Go to Míle Maggot.
Ta-da.